This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Well, it's about time.
Ends with beginnings.
Yeah, you got a hint to the NFL. They will, something's bad and people don't like it, they'll look at it in terms of rules. And it's about time that they are looking at changing overtime rules again. The regular season overtime rule, that is, because in the postseason, it's different. So in the regular season, in overtime, they changed it to 10 minutes several years ago.
Because that was the problem.
6 or 8 years ago. Well, they don't want it to go on for
player safety.
Yeah.
Okay, sure.
But
how would you find a quick way to finish it?
The bigger thing there is that if you get the ball first and you score a touchdown, the game's over. Now, in the postseason, I think it's so stupid that they have different rules in the regular season and postseason. Because if they think
it should always be decided the same way.
Yes.
Decide what's the best and do that.
Well, they obviously think it's dumb in the regular season because they wouldn't allow it in the postseason. So why do you allow it in the regular season? But I get it. I think that it's just trying to speed things along and whatever. But I think that's minimizing the games. I think that overtime is exciting, whether it's a regular season game or a postseason game, and it should be done a lot better than it is now. And so they are toying with changing it back to a 15-minute period. And also, thankfully, they want to change it to where each team has a chance to possess the ball, which is the way it should be. Executive Vice President of Football Operations, Troy Vincent, said, overtime is one topic that universally the committee is thinking about. We need to address this. And you do.
Agreed. Agreed 100%.
In last season, teams that won the coin toss in regular season overtime games wound up winning the game 12 out of 16 times. I think what we're seeing, too, with the coin toss thing, whoever wins a coin toss wins the game. I think what we're seeing is, I don't know about you, I watch a lot of NFL, and it always seems like that the opposing defense is just gassed. It's just gassed.
And right, and so by that point in the game, the team who gets the ball first, yes, absolutely has the advantage.
They're going to drive down and score, yes, because the longer it takes, the more the opposing defense just can't hold up.
I think that's right.
It's stupid. So 12 out of 16, the team that won the toss won the game. There were just 11.6 plays per overtime in 2024, which is the second fewest in the past two decades, which lends credence to my point that they're just marching right down the field on the opposing defense because the opposing defense is just tired. And so that then raises the question, okay, well, then the other team gets the ball. Their defense is also tired, and now you just have a score fest. But I would argue, and I don't know the numbers on this, how often does, in any part of an NFL game, how often do teams just trade touchdowns back and forth or trade scores back and forth each drive?
It doesn't seem like it.
Right. So because of that, I think we're kind of overreacting to the idea that, well, it's got to stop somewhere.
Yeah, that this would just go on forever because no one would ever get a stop. I don't think that's accurate.
I don't think that's accurate either. So what if the NFL just went untimed in overtime and both teams get the ball at least once, and after that, the next score wins?
So I think that college was on the right track with the give each team a chance. The problem that wouldn't work for the NFL is that you start on the 25-yard line in college. You're already in field goal range. I think if you do the give everyone a chance to match, but start them at the 50, if you kick a field goal from there, you're looking at 67 yards. Like you basically have to get a first down before you can kick. And I think you would move things along considerably.
So you're saying give each team a possession.
Yep, from the 50-yard line.
Okay, so not even... So you don't kick off.
Nope.
Okay, so you're doing it like college.
Like college, but just doubling the length because you don't want to start them out in field goal range.
And then you just play sudden death?
You play match.
Or I mean, you not sudden death. You give each team the ball, and then after that...
Same thing again.
Okay, but then how does it end?
Well, like you said... They aren't just going to keep matching forever. How often that's going to happen one time a season?
I know, but that one time they have to prevent that. So there has to be a way.
And that's just the thing, though. It's like, why are we going so far out of the depths of like what's normal for the one anomaly that happens once a year? Who cares?
But I just don't think you can have an NFL game that just goes on in perpetuity.
That goes seven overtimes. Why not? It happened one time to one team this season. Big deal.
Yeah, I just think you got to have something that makes it stop.
Let them end in a tie. After three of them, it's over.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Because now we just run out of time and it's a tie. So maybe after three possessions.
That's fine.
And you can do the whole thing where you have to go for two, or maybe you have to go for two the entire time.
Have a kickoff.
You could, or you could eliminate it and just say every touchdown you need to go for two because it gives us more differentiation.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I'd listen to all that. I just think... Thankfully, the NFL is paying attention here. They will change this. I mean, they'll probably do the postseason overtime rule in the regular season, and they'll change it to 15 minutes. Because 10 minutes, that goes really fast.
It does, and that's why we've seen a bunch of ties in the last few years.
Yeah. Kickoffs. That's the next one. Now, I don't care as much about this one, because I think the kickoff is just, I don't know, I think it's stupid. But they are realizing, and Suk called this. You got to give him credit. He called this. He's like, because we were all talking about, oh, this is such a cool kickoff, new kickoff rule and everything. And he's like, dude, you watch. It's going to be touchback after touchback. And it kind of is, although the stats show that the rule change to kickoffs this season led to a 57% rise in kickoff returns, which doesn't feel like that. When I watched the NFL, it just seemed like...
I did not feel like we were getting more returns.
No. But they said it did, and it also delivers a lower rate of injury because of the change.
Which is wonderful. That's what it was designed to do, and it's doing that.
But now they're talking about changing it again, but it doesn't really say what they're considering. They just want more returns. They don't want it to be just a kind of a formality. So that one, I don't know what they do on that. I mean, you could eliminate kickoffs. Just place the ball at the 30 and let's go. I think what they would do to entice more returns is just give the ball, just move it back 5 yards where you place it if it's a touchback, so that it gives you the incentive to take it out of there.
But that's just the thing, though, is they're trying to disincentivize the return because the ones that get returned are the ones that lead to injury. So it's like it feels like this disingenuous thing where we don't really want it out of the game, but we kind of have to get it out of the game because it's a problem. It's weird.
Yeah, they haven't figured that one out. They kind of, I mean, I get what
they're kind of fence sitting on it, right?
Well, I give them credit. They know that something needs to change.
And they're trying something, they'll try something else.
And they're going to try, they're going to keep going with it. So let's see where they go with it. Coming up next, I want to tell you about two others that I think are more interesting. Well, at least one other one. And that is you were talking about tennis and what is it called?
Like their eye in the sky or eagle eye or something like that?
Hawkeye.
That's
what it's called. It's the Hawkeye technology where you can see where the ball's in or out or where it hit the line in tennis. They're using that. They're bringing that to the NFL, which I think is great. And we will get to that. Oh, the other one is the onside kick. So two other potential changes in the NFL are coming. We'll talk about those next on the...
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Fan. What a jam this is.
It's such a jam. I just had to add it to our rotation.
I love that.
Actually, you know what? I did it when...
Yep. I know where you're going.
And I'm not caught up yet. I'm disappointed that I'm not caught up yet. But yeah, I did it after season 2, episode 3 of Severance.
That's right. If you're watching Severance...
They used it at the end of the episode with a little outro into the credits, and it was perfect.
It was perfect. And that is exactly what I thought of when every time I hear that now... Yeah. I think of Severance.
And it was a jam before that, but that was one of those, like, they picked the perfect song for the perfect TV moment.
You're so right. I thought this exact same thing when they played it, and I instantly went and put it on my Spotify.
Yeah, it's a jam, man.
That's The Who. And if you aren't watching Severance, very good show. It's on Apple TV.
They're midway through, or I guess almost done with the second season.
Very good show. Okay. NFL rule changes, a couple of others that they are toying with. The first down, well, this isn't, they're not toying with this. They are going to do this. The first down spot will now be measured by Hawkeye, which it's about damn time.
No kidding. We are for $30 billion a year, like, machine, we shouldn't be using the chain links anymore.
Yeah, and all the stadiums have the Hawkeye camera system. So it's basically what's going to happen is, so they're going to keep the chain crews on the sideline. So all the volunteers are, I think they're volunteers, maybe they get paid a couple shekels a game, but they're all going to still be there. I don't really know why. Well, I guess I do know why. The reason the chain crews are staying is because if by some chance there is a technical error with the equipment.
If the system were to break down, you would need the manual.
You would need that.
Yeah.
But it's so big distinction here is they're not going to allow this technology to spot the ball. The referee still spots it. But once the referee spots it, the Hawkeye will then determine whether or not it is a first down. And that's great. Because that is way better than putting a, what was it, there's like an index card or something? That
was such an abomination. Like, I'm not even sure what that was supposed to accomplish or prove. It's like, well, it looks really close. You know what? I've got an index card in my pocket. I'll try to apply that. Was that Steratore? Who was that?
I don't remember who it was.
I think it was Gene Steratore.
The Hawkeye system, in reality, will not be used very often at all. NFL statistics show that there are an average of 12 measurements conducted each week, less than one per game. And part of the reason for that is ball spotting mechanics make most measurements unnecessary. So any first down is going to be spotted on the nearest yard line. If the ball is 6 inches short of the 20-yard line, the umpire will place the nose of the ball on the edge of the 20. If during the series the ball is just touching the 30-yard line, it's first down and there will be no measurement. When the line to gain is between 5-yard stripes and the dead ball spot is in a side zone away from the hash marks, that's when they have to measure. Under this mechanic, the inches don't matter all of the time. So
I get what they're saying, that basically if you go and get, you know, a 4.5-yard carry, they're not just going to leave it between half yard lines. They're essentially going to set it up so that the next play can be administered, in which if you get it to this point, it's just obviously a first down, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And but now the only thing there is the 10.5, for example.
Yeah.
Goal to go, that's different.
Right.
You have to make sure that that's right.
Sure.
But and like I said, the technology isn't going to spot the ball for the officials, so you know, people are thinking of the Josh Allen, the sneak in the Bills Chiefs game, the AFC Championship game. This would not have changed that. I'm always quite impressed with where officials spot the ball in the NFL and how good they are at that. At the same time, there are times when they get it wildly wrong, and this will help. Well, actually, this won't help with that, but it is nice that they're jumping in on Hawkeye and using it more. And it's only a matter of time, right, before this technology.
It should be almost fully automated very soon. Very much like balls and strikes in baseball. We're going to see the technology take over this very simple thing pretty quickly here.
By the way, the chain gang was implemented in football in 1906. Did you know that? That's the same year they implemented the forward pass.
Yeah, I mean, how else are you going to do? You pretty much have to go out there with, I mean, you're not going to eyeball it. You got to use something. So just go out there with the 10-yard stick and say, okay, did he make it?
And then the other change, onside kicks. Here are the onside kick rate numbers the last 10 seasons. So go back to 2015. In other words, success rate. 15%, 2016, 11%, 2017, 21% of onside kicks were recovered by the kicking team. Then they banned the running start. And then it went down to 7%, 12%, 4%, 16%. And then the last 3 years, it's been 5%, 4%, and 6%.
Yeah.
So it's just, they call it a dead play. And that's right. Occasionally, somebody screws it up and the kicking team recovers. But it's generally called a dead play because everybody knows, one, you have to tell the other team when you're doing an onside kick now. But two, everybody knows that you're not going to get it. So it's a stupid play. So they're looking at changing that. Now, one of the things, I don't know how they would do that and still keep the onside kick, unless they went back to the old rules of the onside kick. But one radical change is, and I think we've talked about this before, but it's been proposed, and they're talking about it again, that instead of the onside kick, you get one down.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth down, 20 yards. And 20.
They've come up with a couple different variations of that, but essentially, yeah, you start deep in your own 20 with a fourth and impossible, and if you can somehow come up with and convert the fourth down, then you get a set of first down wherever you got the ball.
I don't hate it. I really don't.
No, I don't either.
I think the onside kick is great. I would love to see the onside kick revived, but that's also pretty exciting.
But this is a more exciting alternative until we figure that out.
This is an exciting
because right now
play.
People just aren't doing the onside kick, and those onside kicks aren't being recovered, so let's see something different.
For comparison, the fourth down and 15-plus yards to go rate, conversion rate, is 14%. So that does get at least just the percentages of the play, of converting the play, that gets it back up to some of those old onside kick numbers, which would be good. So, I don't know. I'm all for it. Because I think the onside kick is sweet.
And
but
you made the point, too, like, the NFL knows when something needs to be changed or needs to be different. If that element of the game is dead and is kind of pointless or isn't, you know, giving us entertainment value, like, they'll do something about it. Well, it might not be perfect and it might take a couple years to figure out, but I just appreciate that it's a league that is going to make swift changes.
Yeah. They're not stupid. Someone asks on the Vancouver, or damn it, it's not Vancouver Ford. Rest in peace. The fan text line. Can you challenge the spot by the human and use Hawkeye? No. You should be able to.
Yeah.
And probably down the road, but not this year. I think the one thing they're concerned about, one, is using it too much, but two, technology. I think they are, I read a quote from somebody at the NFL who said, you know, they were a little worried that the technology wasn't quite reliable enough before, but they feel comfortable enough with it in this small, just this facet to go with it for next year.
And that's the thing, is I get you wanting to be absolutely certain about it before you implement it, because even though it's overdue and even though it's clearly the right thing, if you go out and roll this out and it's botching calls and it's botching measurements, like, people are going to have an even bigger problem with it.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see what they do. What on earth happened to Gene Hackman? The details of this story are wild.
Yeah, you have more details than I realized were out there. Now, I mean, I was already thinking things were a little bit funky, but...
It's weird.
More than I realized.
There may not be anything to it, but there may be everything to it. We'll get to that next on The Fan.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.